Well, like I said, keep it sweet. I have a big ass pit bull just laying on me now, so if you hear whining at any point, I promise you it's not me.
Oh, it's definitely you.
Yeah, it's me. It's hard to pack the car when all you do is shame us. It's even harder when the dirtbag's famous. I saw my mother on the street last night, all pretty and strong, singing, "The road is long."
It is the Air Raid Podcast, brought to you by BeaverTheMatadors.com. I'm Ryan. I'm here tonight with Jeremy. How's it going, man?
It is going good. It is going good. We are just a few days away from a superb ending to an already okay year.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun, and just to see the reactions with the Justice Parker scholarship announcement and just kind of the overall feeling of this team now that Kingsbury's place has been secure. We've re-signed Gibbs for a couple more years. Kirby has turned away a bunch of other programs. It just feels like everything's kind of solidified to make a charge going forward in the future. It's going to be great.
Absolutely, especially with the lack of, like you said, I just want to emphasize, man, no more questions right now. It's all about just playing football, and
heck,
I think
yes,
we definitely see that.
Yes, we're not going to talk anything about hot seats tonight. That's for
absolutely
sure.
Not.
I will say thank you for your lovely Homer Simpson tweet at me for my reaction to Star Wars. I
we're
appreciate
not getting
that.
Into that. We're not getting into that. It was
no, we're not getting
Albert.
Into that. I just wanted to say thank you for that because I haven't had a chance to properly thank you for that double middle finger.
Hey, I loved it. You didn't. That's just all I had to say about it. That's it.
Well, we're obviously here to talk about the South Florida Bulls.
Bulls, yes.
Yeah,
that's the University of South Florida, yes. Not Southern Florida University.
Yeah, that's what I just call them, South Florida. I just go right down the middle.
Right, just get it.
Yeah, and obviously we have a familiar foe in Charlie Strong being the head coach. We're going to talk about why I think that's kind of a bad thing for Tech. But on the other side of things, we have a special guest tonight. Ooh. I'm super excited about it. We haven't got to talk to him all year, which is my fault, because after that whole thing with Mickey's wife went down, I was just kind of bummed, and I really didn't reach out to any alumni after that. And
right.
I finally, I haven't gotten up the nerve to reach out to Mickey to see if he wants to be on, but I did get up the nerve to actually reach out to another alum, Tremaine Swindle. He's been on the pod before, for the last couple of years, and he's on today, so I'm excited. We get to talk to him a little bit and get his take on this bowl game, and we'll break it all down, don't worry guys. But we're gonna take a super quick break. We're not actually taking a break, it's just gonna be edited that way.
Sure.
But we're gonna take a super quick break, and when we come back, Tremaine Swindle's gonna be here. It's gonna be awesome, so let's get him on the phone and we'll be right back.
Out here, we do things a little different.
Scholarships change lives.
We take care of our own.
So someday, we can give back and make a difference.
Justice, what's up, man? Congratulations, you're on scholarship. Woo!
This is Texas Tech University.
We inspire.
We discover.
We succeed.
We ride.
We share our traditions.
And our innovations.
We are champions.
We work hard.
And play louder.
We are many things.
But wherever we go.
And whatever we do.
Every day.
Every day.
Todos los días.
Every day.
Every day, we are Red Raiders.
Looking left, keeps looking that way. Now Stone throws to the slot, man, it's Swindoll. He gets it at the 40, side steps to the defender at the 35, to the far sideline, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Red Raiders!
What's up, Tremaine?
What's happening? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
Hey, good deal. How y'all doing?
Good. I'm here with a new staff member. Okay. Obviously, the quiet Jonathan isn't on here. So this is Jeremy. Jeremy, say hi to Tremaine.
What's up, Tremaine? I'm Jeremy.
How you doing, brother?
He's going to talk a little bit more than the previous co-host. So it won't just be like an awkward third part of the conversation. But how's it going? I mean, it's been a while since we had a chance to talk. What have you been up to?
Man, just busy with the fam, man. We built a house this past summer and was moved into that, and it's busy, man.
Are you still down in Georgetown?
And family. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And remind me what you're doing.
Sports and all that.
I'm sorry.
Right now, currently, I work. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Right now, I work for it's a company called Trellis Company. It was formerly Texas Guarantee. So basically, I help people get their student loans out of default.
Okay.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
So doing the Lord's work.
It's been pretty cool. I've been there for 5.5 years, so it's been pretty cool.
Are you still doing the flag football championships?
Yes, I've doing that actually. This last month, the week before Thanksgiving, we were planning a tournament here in Round Rock, and I had a concussion and kind of like blacked out and everything, and went to the emergency room. I didn't remember nothing. It was pretty awkward, pretty rare hit that I got. I took a knee to my head, top of my head.
Yikes!
I had no idea how it happened, but I was out for a couple of days. But yeah, so we're on a break right now, and we're gonna pick it back up here, in the new year. So it's fun. Just to kind of still play football a little bit and be a little active still. So
now last year you won the championship, right? You went up to Frisco, my old hometown. And you brought the trophy home, right?
We won. Yes, sir. So they went to Brownsville this year, and of course I couldn't go because I was recovering from the concussion, and they didn't do too well. But yeah, so
it's hard to win without your star player, man. I'm telling you,
hey, man. And you know, if that's how you want to put it, I'm gonna let you say it. but yeah, it's fun, man. It's fun. We try to play in one tournament a month. Of course, we have other things going on with family and everything. But, you know, when we do go to tournaments, most of the time all our family comes and, you know, wives, kids and all that. So it's a pretty fun atmosphere, you know, the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. I'm so excited. I know we're friends on Facebook. I love following you and your family, seeing your little girl grow up.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome. I love the pictures y'all take too with the, for all the holidays.
Right,
seem like an awesome family. So I'm glad everything's going well there.
Right, my wife does all that and keep us busy for sure.
Yeah. Well, I know you've obviously been following the season, the ups and downs. Just real quick before we get into South Florida and kind of your take on them, what you think about their stud quarterback and the like. And Jeremy's going to throw in questions here and there too, but what was your kind of overall impression of this team this year, whether it's compared to last year or how this team faced adversity? Obviously, the record isn't what we would want it to be. There was a little bit of a losing streak there, but what was your overall impression of this team from start to finish compared to maybe last year?
Overall, man, I think what I'm most impressed of is the defense.
Yeah.
And how much they improved from last year and, you know, the year before that is just completely, complete 180. And happy for Coach Gibbs and the rest of the defense, you know, staff to make that improvement. That shows a lot of how much, you know, hard work they're putting in with the players and recruiting everybody, and, you know, everybody's kind of buying into the system and playing for each other. That shows, you know. But like you said, I mean, of course, you know, some games, of course, they should have won. Offense kind of struggled had kind of up and down year, not what we're used to, used to seeing, of course, for Texas Tech. But overall, I think what I'm most impressed of is the defense and, how much they're able to force turnovers and, get takeaways, all that. It kind of, big plays to turn the game around and give the offense a chance to go score. So
now, outside of, when you were on the squad with that golf cart driver who shall not be named,
right.
When you were under Leach, did you ever have a game or two as a team where you struggled, or is this kind of an anomaly to see, just certain points of the game Tech just shut down on offense? Is this something that's within the offense? Is it play calling, in your opinion, or is it just adjustments being done by the defense that's kind of giving us fits?
I think, when I was playing, I think it was just us not, ready to play. You got to be ready. You got to be focused, of course, to play. The coaches put us in a good situation, have a good game plan. But if we don't go out and execute and one mistake here, one mistake there, it can fall apart and you get too far behind to catch up. But you're going to have those ups and downs in the game, whether it's the first half or second half. But, all together, you just got to, be ready to play and be focused and know your job and do what you can do what you can control. Just worry about what you have to do. Each individual that has that mindset, everything will come together.
Mm-hmm. Were you, we've talked about it in the past, but for new listeners, and obviously Jeremy wasn't here, when you're on the sideline and you kind of start feeling that, whether it's not ready to play or in the middle of the game where you just come out flat in the second half, or, like we saw against West Virginia, there's a fourth quarter collapse on offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
What is the mindset on the sidelines? What goes through your head as a player to get back into it without trying to press or anything like that, and trying to get it all back in one play? How do you try to turn that around?
Right. You said in the end, just really take it one play at a time. You can't, score, 40 points in one play. You got to take it one play at a time and, don't worry about the pass. Just move forward and play the next play. Leach always said that, play the next play, play the next play. Don't, hey, you could have dropped, play the next play, short-term memory. So I think just chipping away like that, having that mindset of, hey, let's play this next play, get this first down. Okay, we'll get another first down, and so on and so on. You can kind of, have that confidence of, hey, we can do this, we can come back, we can – make this run, to do something.
And when
do you want me to ask that question, Ryan?
Okay. If you want to, I'm going to give little breaks here and there just so I'm not
sure, man.
I don't absolutely want you to be the quiet guy like the last couple of co-hosts.
Nah, dude. I didn't know. Okay, so I don't know. So if you have any instance, since you've been in a part of the program, we were talking a little bit before, that in light of the UT victory, we've seen, a solidification in Coach Kingsbury's job, Coach Gibbs's job. We've seen a real rejuvenation kind of in this team. How would you say that the getting rid of those question marks at the coaching position, how do you think that affects players? Not even necessarily talking about USF, but just in general.
As far as the current players on the team?
Sure, current players, prospective players.
Yeah, I think that kind of settles them down and say, hey, we're good. We don't have to worry about, so-and-so leaving or getting fired. That UT win was a big win, and I was in attendance, so it made it that much better to be there live. you can go into the offseason, say, hey, we're building off this. We have momentum. Get some good recruits in. We improved as a defense. We still have, young guys, key players coming back from offense. So at that point, you just go in off season and say, hey, we got to work. We got to get better. Bring recruits in, get them on board, get them on the same page. And it's, all you're thinking of is, hey, we can only improve. only way is up from here. So I think that's a good mindset to have with that key win against UT.
Yeah.
Also going into USF, I mean, you know, again, going in with that momentum against them, and of course Tech is an underdog, but you know, you're not thinking about that. Of course, you're thinking about, you know, going in there and beating them. And you know, with Charlie Strong, he's done well with them, really impressed with them. So it should be a good game to watch for sure.
Now, speaking of bowl preparation, now 2008 is kind of the one that I continually go back to for some reason. Do you prefer as a player to play at the beginning of, you know, bowl season? I know it's not the most prestigious bowl, but do you prefer to just go ahead and get it while you're in the groove of things, or do you prefer the extra kind of week and a half, like you did in the Cotton Bowl, and you may come out a little bit more rusty?
Really, I think all the bowl games that I was a part of, they were either on a new year or on the second. When Ticket City Bowl was on the first too, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was on the second actually. It was on my wife's
No,
birthday.
it was on the first.
It was on the first. You're right. It was on the first.
Because I had to miss a wedding to go see you play, man.
Look at you. Sick. That's true.
I left my wife.
Oh man.
You do that, I'm gonna go watch the football game.
Right. So to answer your question, it's pretty, having a late bowl game, we're able to go home and spend Christmas with our family most of the time. I think a couple of years I left on Christmas, but I was able to at least have, you know, at least Christmas morning with my family. But even before the end, of course, we're in Lubbock for bowl practice. So it's just more time you get to spend together with your brothers. You know what I mean? I'd rather the late bowls, you know, it's more closer to the, you know, the good ones, you know, the big game. So you're kind of in that field, per se, but it is a grind. It's just an extra week or so. You practice before you leave to go home, and then we just meet at the bowl game if it's close. If not, we of course meet back in Lubbock and fly. But only have to do that once for the Gator Bowl. We had to meet back in Lubbock and fly, but all the other ones we were able to drive there and just meet the team there at the hotel. But yeah, definitely grind to get the extra practices in. But that's what you kind of live for, you know, to get better and you know, be around your brothers, you know, especially the seniors before they leave. So
I guess that's what the Texas game reminded me of. I remember that there was a game that the Texas game reminded me of, and you just mentioned it. It's the Gator Bowl in the 07 season.
Mm-hmm.
Just that knock out, you know, just drag on fight with Virginia, and just right. Chris Long just all over Harold. He couldn't see straight.
Yep.
And it looked like we weren't going to pull it out. And all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, we're like marching and scoring and we pull it out. I think Ryland Reed got hurt that game. Didn't he get carted off or something?
Was it? Yep. Was it that game?
I think so. Yeah, something
it was,
like that.
Because I remember he had to fly back, and he was. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was him.
And I just, it with so many parallels with just, man, can't get the offense going. We're always in bad field position. You know, mm-hmm. starting in bad field position. Quarterback doesn't have any time to throw. Just that unrelenting pass rush, and they look like they have 15 guys all over the field, and then all of a sudden, it just starts clicking in the fourth quarter, and we start making a run. And I was like, it was a great game. I loved watching the Gator Bowl game. I loved watching this Texas game, even though it was low scoring. I thought it was overall just a great football game to watch and the kind of the back and forth that we had. So you're right about that. Now, I do have one quick question about bowl prep again. Because to me, bowl games are so weird when it comes to these types of teams who aren't real familiar with each other. There's a bit of a gap, so you kind of get out of the everyday or every week grind of going and practicing and playing on the weekends. But it seems like you never know what you're going to get from one quarter to the next. Going back to that 08 mm-hmm. game, y'all were on the verge of blowing Ole Miss out in the first quarter, and then all of a sudden it seemed like they just came roaring back, and kind of the same thing with the Gator Bowl and the whatever that one was, the Circuit City Bowl or whatever, Insight Bowl in 06.
Circuit City Bowl.
And when we came roaring back in the second half, and
mm-hmm.
it's just, how does this team or on teams that you played with try to combat the jumping out really quick and then kind of being like, okay, we got this? I know it's not an actual thought that y'all have, but just to not let that team get back into it, because we've seen that be a problem with this current squad many times mm-hmm. this year.
It's just stand on a pedal, not letting up and getting complacent, you know, that, hey, we have this lead, we got them going. You got to think, hey, the other team is going to make adjustments, you know, 95% of the time. And when they do, you know, one little thing leads to the other, and they're right back in it. So it's basically just staying focused and, you know, keeping the foot on the pedal. As hard as you can. I mean, yeah, they're going to make a run, but you got to do your job to not let that happen to where it gets bad and, oh, you look up and they have the lead. But yeah, it's going to happen. That's the thing with these bowl games. I mean, like you said, like you playing a team that you've never played before, you know, really see, and they may throw in some new stuff, you know, it's a bowl game. So you're going to see trick plays and all that. So, it's just, you know, how you handle that adversity when it does happen, because it's going to happen. You know, you use the season after all you've been through adversity the whole season. That's how you respond in that bowl game when it happens. You know, just overcoming that, staying focused, staying, you know, key to what you have to do to, you know, to prevent it from, like I said, getting out of hand and them taking the lead and going away with the game, you know, stealing the game from me. You know, that's definitely a bad feeling. Like you said, Ole Miss, they were so loaded, man. Michael Wallace, Michael Orr, they had a cluster. I mean, we were kicking their tail. And one thing leads to another, you know, it just gets out of hand. So that one really hurt. We, after, of course, the great season we had that year, to lose that, especially after you losing the OU like that, really left a bad taste in our mouth for the next year. So that's also another thing. You want to win that bowl game to go into the off season, you know, with a good feeling in your mouth. You know, you don't want to go in there with a loss on your belt. So, you know, all those are key things for sure.
Well, my next question would be, when I heard that we were playing South Florida, I got kind of concerned, simply because I feel like Charlie Strong has the advantage in this matchup, just because, you know, Kingsbury looking across, he knows Charlie Strong, he's faced him 3 years, but it's entirely different personnel group. So Charlie Strong in his first year, maybe with the new offensive coordinator, new players, maybe, you know, playing to his personnel strength on both offense and defense, maybe not implementing everything just yet, where Charlie Strong looking across at Kingsbury is like, okay, I've seen you 3 years. You've still got the basic mm-hmm. package on offense. You still got the mm-hmm. same player personnel packages. I know exactly who you're bringing to the table. I feel like, you know, he's got a little bit more of an advantage than playing someone who has never seen Tech before.
Right.
I mean, are you worried as an offensive player if you know that is a defensive-minded head coach who knows you, you know, really well?
No, I don't think they should be worried, but I'm pretty sure they respect him and of course know his what he's capable of. But the main thing is, you know, going in and practice, getting better each day, and focus on the game plan that the coaches have. You know, focus on what route you have, what block you're going to have on a certain play, know what to expect from that defense. Like you said, the defense is going to be great. And also on our defense, you know, I think I looked up, you know, their running backs. They run the ball well. They have, I think, two players with over 10 touchdowns. And three players with over, 700 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, you got to buckle down and you know they're going to run the ball. Just, you know, fit up, be physical. So it's just really, like I said, controlling what you can control, doing your job, you know. You know that the team's going to come, you know, full strength. So it's just focus on what you can control.
Yeah, they have a little three-headed monster. Quentin Flowers is the quarterback. Rushed 182 times for 972 yards.
Yeah.
10 touchdowns. Darius Tice, 162 attempts for 878 yards and 11 touchdowns. And De'Ernest Johnson, 177 attempts for 745 yards. It seems like they just run the Wildcat is what it looks like. Because
Like,
Quentin Flowers does not throw a pretty ball. And he's only 53% completion. So it's basically modified wishbone.
Right. So if you shut down a run, they're gonna have to pass it, and that's where turnovers can come. You know, put some pressure on them, you throw it up there, and you know. So I'm sure that, the defensive coaches, Gibbs and them, is, you know, see that and putting together a plan to kind of counter all that. You know, so they should be fun to watch.
They have to stay disciplined on Quentin Flowers because he is the same type of escape level artist that Mahomes was, maybe even better, just from an athletic standpoint. He doesn't throw as well as Mahomes, but he is like dead to right in the pocket on film.
So he's leading and rushing. That's crazy.
Now, what's really crazy is he's had 182 attempts this year for 972 yards. Last year, in just 16 more attempts, he had almost 600 more yards. He had 1,500 yards rushing last year on 198 attempts. I mean, this guy is going to be dangerous. And if our defensive line isn't sure on their tackles, isn't playing disciplined, you know, not over pursuing, he's going to break it. I mean, he's going to break it anyway. You can't contain the player forever. But to try and limit his damage, it's going to be interesting to see what Big Mike and Broderick and those guys bring to that defensive, that line structure.
Right. I mean, loading that box, and like, that's the key thing is tackling, man. If you wrap up, don't let them get that extra yardage after the contact. That's going to be huge. That's going to be really huge because he's been doing damage for sure.
Absolutely. So I think there's another factor that, and I hate Tremaine because you've been answering so professionally. I hate to put this on you. So there is a reality here that this is Big 12 against USF's, it's American East, right? Even though they're 9-2 in the American East and we're 6-6 in the Big 12, it's still Big 12 against American East. Do you think that this mindset, which I could guarantee you some of these players already have when they figured out they were playing a small conference mm-hmm. team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're going to come in with a lot more swagger than if we got picked to play like an SEC team or something?
I think, as a player, you think about, you know, the conference. Oh, we got them. That comes to mind, of course, at first. But you still, you know, you want to. Leach always told us that, you know, you gotta respect your opponent. You know, they can. Just like you always use Appalachian State and Michigan as an example.
Mm.
You can't, you know, overlook your opponent because, you know, upsets will happen. So at first, Conference USA, you know, you think about that. But overall, I mean, it don't matter who it is. You know, anybody can get beat. You got to go out there and do your job. But, yeah, that's true. It is something that comes to mind at first. I'm not going to lie.
Big brother and little brother. Absolutely.
But, hey, they lost to Houston, though, at home. How good can they be? We beat Houston.
Here's really? The here's you know, trail you know what I'm saying? What's it called? The paper trail?
That's right.
We're going
right.
to beat Alabama by beating
the transitive property of college football.
Transitive property, yeah.
There you go.
We won the playoffs already, yeah.
Right.
Well, we definitely won basketball, but –
True.
That's funny.
Now, on you look at this wide receiving core. We've got a lot of seniors playing their last game on offense. Mm-hmm. We got 10 of 11 starters coming back on defense, you know, saying that, assuming that Dakota Allen doesn't leave, which I don't think he will, but there's some talk about Kiki maybe wanting to go. You know that you're losing mm-hmm. Derek Willis. You know you're losing Cantrell. You know you're losing
Batson.
Yeah, thank you, Cam. You know, and this is their last go. Now you've kind of been in that situation a little bit differently, we're not going to go back into it. But how much more does this game mean to them wanting to go out on top than maybe some of the younger guys who are buying into this program and believing that they're mm-hmm. you know, we're going to be going bowling every year. This is just another stepping stone or whatnot. I mean.
Yeah, you always want to win your last game. That just makes sense, you know. So as a senior, just like your senior game, you know, in your last home game, always want to win it. Always want to win a homecoming. Really, of course, you want to win every game. But just saying, if you take a game by game, your last game, you want to win your last game, putting on that Red Raider uniform. So I know they're going to go out and play their hardest, you know, like they never played before. I think that just comes natural to a competitive person that's been there, you know, 4+ years. You put so much time in, so much sweat, blood, you know, tears, whatever the case may be. You definitely want to go out on top, you know. You want to say, hey, I won my last bowl game as a Texas Tech Red Raider. So I think that's a special memory that they're going to carry for forever. You know, be able to tell the kids and grandkids, hey, this bowl ring says champions on it. You know, we're champions. We won this bowl. So I definitely think that's a special thing that they're going to carry on the field Saturday morning.
Yeah, because it's interesting that the last bowl – bowl victory for Texas Tech was 2013. All the players on this squad were not on the team during that bowl victory. Like Cam came in 2014. So other than the LSU loss, this mm-hmm. is their next bowl opportunity. And this might mm-hmm. be, you know, obviously that's their only chance to get a bowl championship. So that's right. A great point.
All right.
There's another senior on offense that we've seen multiple sides of, and we saw him come in the fourth quarter in Texas. What are your expectations for Nick Szymanek in this game since he's been named starter?
Right. I think it was I think he's going to come out and have a heck of a game. I mean, he proved it his worth against, you know, UT, you know, coming out that fourth quarter and leading them to victory. So I think he has that confidence that, you know, of course he's the man, and, you know, he's going to, you know, lead his team on his last ride. You know, he's putting, I'm pretty sure a lot of pride in that. So I'm expecting him to have a huge game and lead him to another victory, you know, going off that UT game.
Is there a quarterback that you played with that Szymanek reminds you of?
I played with like 8 of them.
Saw it coming.
Not Graham. Nobody can compare to him. I'm going to say.
That's why Tremaine's my favorite.
It's tough.
He knows what's up with Harold.
Oh my God.
Being number one.
All right.
G Money.
No, G Money for sure. I say. I think he's most relatable to. It's tough. Not Sticks. Not Daggy. I say Potts because. And this
because
is
because the fan base hated him too.
No.
I had a feeling you were going there.
I don't know because not Sticks, not Daigie. I think because I'm thinking because of the size. Yeah. And, you know, not the arm. I mean, Potts, of course, had.
I mean, Potts had Nick on the back of his jersey at one point. So
you're right. You're right. Number. Yep.
Mike Leach is a time traveler.
I can't believe Leach did that. But I would say just the closest. I mean, it's not even. I'm not saying it's the same player, but I say he's closer to Potts than any other quarterback that I played with.
I mean, I was a fan of Potts. I'm a big fan of Šimonek. I think a couple of bad quarters back in the mid-2000s may have not gotten the same type of heat that it does today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a different game.
Yeah, just the perception, how many people have instant, you know, just their sounding off device on Twitter or whatnot. I still think he's a very, very decent quarterback, especially in the system. I think he's done fairly well.
Right.
It's just been at times where it didn't work out.
Yeah, and I sometimes wonder, like, oh, what if he had, you know, more years to actually play?
Right.
But I was thinking back with Leach, you know, he had those quarterbacks where they would just play the 1 year. You mm-hmm. know, I think, what, did Cody Hodge, he played one?
Yep.
BJ?
BJ, it was, yeah, it was BJ, Cumby, and Hodges were plug and play fifth-year seniors.
Right. So it's like, you know, of course, that's been proven that it could be done. So I think maybe, you know, Nick needed more reps in game. But I think he has a lot of potential. I mean, like I said, I like the size and I like his swagger on the field, you know. You know, he's competitive and of course want to win and want to get better. But I do wish that, you know, he had more time to play on the field, you know, because I know he knows that he can play a lot better than what he did this year, yeah. You know, and the games that he didn't do so well in. So, yeah, I'm a fan of him too, for sure. I was really rooting for him, you know, before the season. So I'm like I said, I'm expecting him to have a huge game for his last game with the Red Raiders.
Now, one of the things that you always tell me when I ask you about certain routes, play calling, what you thought about this play in this situation, whatnot, is you always tell me, I don't know, I have to look at the game film, which seems like a very coach remark. Because I've heard Kingsbury say it, I've heard you say it, I've heard you know, pro coaches say it, whether it's McVay out there in Los Angeles or some mm-hmm. of the other offensive gurus. But you were at the Texas game, and I'm not sure where your seats were, but you probably had a good, you know, good view of this of the field.
Right, I was right behind the band, one row behind.
Where was the band?
On the tubas.
That's pretty loud.
the what is that? South end zone. About okay. Right under the jumbo, the big screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you, not so right they, under it, but it was.
So you were looking down the field.
No. I'm sorry. Not right under the.
Isn't the screen, it in the corner?
Right. If you're looking to the screen, the left left corner, the left bottom corner.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, I was right behind. The band.
Well, one of the critiques that a lot of fans have with the offensive situation for Texas Tech, and as we mentioned, a down year like this where we may be just outside the top 10 in total offense or whatnot, or we have problems in the red zone, we're kind of spoiled because we're so used to being in the top one or two. It's just like even a down year where mm-hmm. most teams would love to be our offense. But a lot of it was, you know, Kingsbury may be getting too close to this, being the play caller. He's overthinking it. He's being too cute in certain situations. He needs to take a step back, get away from it, see it from bird's eye view, or even bring in somebody with a fresh perspective. Because play calling has continually come up in the mailbag and in tweets and in stuff to us And I just want to get your kind of opinion on the play calling that you saw in that Texas game, or what you have been seeing over the course of the year on TV or whatever you could make out of it. Are you okay with some of the play calls? Have you been sitting there watching the TV saying, okay, we need this play in this situation from your playing days? I mean, how would you rate the play calling this year?
I think it's been, of course, kind of questionable. You know, I've seen a lot of screens just going backwards instead of just going more vertical.
Right.
You know, you want to attack, you know, middle of the field or even downfield, have a trust in your receivers. Of course, with the right coverage, you know, especially in man coverage, you want to take some shots downfield. You got TJ Vasher, and I'm not sure what happened with Willie's, but, I mean, you got some big play receivers that can go get the ball. But yeah, a lot of those screens and stuff. Leach, we ran screens and arcs and all that. I think it has been called a lot more, especially, and I think the down and distance has been the key thing of when that play has been called. But other than that, I just think more shots down the field. You know, that's what we were all about. You know, it's shots down the field, and then, you know, hitting with the screens, and then, you know, hitting with the quick runs. You know, so definitely it's been questionable, but, you know, I'm pretty sure they see that, and it's just a matter of them just learning from it and, you know, not making those mistakes in those key times, you know, because some, and of course, key third downs, we'd be like, okay, why did he run that play? Now, like you said, maybe it's more to it. We have to look on the film. Somebody didn't do their job that we didn't see on TV, you know. Most of the time, that's what's happening. But, of course, without watching the film, you know, you can't really – I can't really say, hey, well, that was a bad call.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
because
the only play that I broke down that I really wanted to go back and look at was a 3rd and 4 against Kansas State. It was at the end of the game. It was going to secure the game, and then we missed the field goal, and they went down and won. But it was 3rd and 4 in the red zone, and there was like a little underplay where the two inside receivers, and I'm not a football guy, I apologize, Tremaine, so I'm not going to even.
No, and I actually wasn't able to catch that game. I believe I was at a tournament, but go explain it.
So it was Tripp's left, single near side, and there was a blitz coming from Kansas State. Tech picks it up, and what the play was, you had Kiki and Cam basically running a streak and an inside post on the two slot positions. I'm not going to say which one was X and which one was Y or whatever, but the two inside, Cantrell was on the far side, on the outside position, and once they clear, it was kind of a natural rub where Cantrell is going to go up about 5 yards and then kind of run an in, a 5 yard in. And that was the play. That was the play that he was supposed to get. It was there. Everybody picked up the block. It was there. And everybody was upset with Nick because he scrambles and gets sacked where he picks up a yard. And I went back and looked at it. Trey King picks up his blocker. Bruffy has his guy, Akamanu has his guy, Anderson has his guy, and Steele has his guy. But the problem was, Stay Wars gets pushed back into Shimonek. That was where the entire play broke down.
So he
felt
out of
that
there.
Pressure in his face to the side that he was trying to throw to, and he escaped to the right or tried to make it to the right. May have hesitated and just trusted the pocket, maybe he makes makes the play.
I think that situation,
he runs out, but everybody looks at it like it was a bad play call when the play was there. Cantrell's open.
Right.
Everybody picked up the blitz that was supposed to. It was just kind of that he felt pressure and he tried to escape and he didn't get it. So that's why I have a hard time saying I have a problem with the play call.
Yeah, a lot of
right, right.
so much to go back and look at if you're going to start calling. Like a lot of the fans are thinking, oh, it's just play calling, it's right. just play calling. And that would just take too much research to go back and say, okay, well, which plays are you referring to where the play didn't work out?
Right.
And then let's figure out what went wrong. And like, you know, like Jermaine's saying, like 99% of the time, I've been in the film rooms, 99% of the time, a coach will point out and go, this is it. And you look at it and you think, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, yep, that's it.
Yep. Yeah, that pocket presence is key. And I think, like I said, I think that would come with more reps in the game, more, you know what I mean, more years, because, you know, knowing that you have a quick, you know, you have an under route coming for a first down, you just sit in that pocket a little bit more or slide to the left a little bit to avoid getting hit just so you can get it off. Yeah, you may get hit afterwards, but you're buying yourself to time to complete that ball on time to the receiver for the first down. So all those are key things. And like you said, that we can only see, go back and watch the film, watching it live, it may not look like that at first, you know?
Right.
Or somebody else that don't know what they're talking about, they may not see it like that, you know? So, and then that's when the griping and all the negative comments come in.
And I guess my last question, Jeremy's been being a little too quiet. He's not jumping in as much as I thought he would.
I just didn't.
My last question before I let Jeremy ask his, if he has any, and get into and predictions and what we think is going to happen in the game, is you were there live watching this defense.
Yeah.
Is this defense – obviously, we know this defense is for real as far as creating turnovers. And I think the Texas game was one of the best games they've played all year as far as just holding an offense in check, not letting them – not a bend, don't break type of defense. I mean, how impressed were you by this defense, not just seeing them on TV or whatnot, but actually seeing them in person, you know, whether it's Justice Parker –
right.
or Jay Sean or Dakota Allen, Jordan Brooks, you know, flying around making the plays. I mean, is it a speed thing? Does this defense look faster than they did last year? Are they able to close quicker? I mean, what did you see?
Feel free to get pumped.
You said what, Jeremy?
I said feel free to get pumped because you can't match my level of excitement for this defense. But
it's really impressive, especially from what we've been seeing. Dakota, he's a huge asset to the defense. Brooks, all of them, and Justice Parker, he deserved the scholarship. He's, you know, a great, great player. I think they just fly around. I mean, I think they, you know, if they give up a big play, they keep playing, you know, and they always try to, you know, force turnovers. And that's huge because, you know, sooner or later it's going to happen, whether it's a fumble or a tip pass and a pick. They fly around. They're fast. They're a lot quicker on the defensive line, and strong. So that's of course, a big change from last year. Overall, man, just really impressed. They kept it close. They didn't give up too many big plays. Like I said, if they did give up a big one, they kept going. They kept fighting, didn't lay down. So just having that dog mindset, man, is a complete turnaround. It gives the offense a chance to go score and win the game, and that's what happened.
Absolutely. Brian, I'm so sorry. I really don't have any questions, man.
What you got, Jeremy? Come on, Jeremy. You should have been prepared, man.
It doesn't have to be about USF. You can talk to him about his playing days or anything. That's the stuff that I love hearing about.
You're a
nostalgic old man.
You call me old, you're calling Tremaine old because he's getting a little bit closer to my age.
Tremaine is experienced. Oh. He had his time on the field.
Oh, he's experienced.
You're not the football guy. You're old.
I got you. Okay.
I have to have a different level of respect. It's hard because obviously offensive-minded guy, and then over here I'm just defensive-minded completely. So I just don't know the right questions to ask. I love hearing the perspective about, you know, this team and how they've matured and, you know, especially what to expect for USF. I think the biggest question that we've already kind of touched on is, you say what? Never mind. I think the biggest question we already kind of touched on is where Charlie Strong plays.
You're cutting out on me, Jeremy.
Oh, my bad. Am I good now? Am I good now? Am I good now?
It's cutting. Yeah.
I'm walking around. I'm walking around.
Okay.
How about now?
You sound like a robot a little bit.
I'm in the I'm in the middle of the street. Is this okay?
It's late. Yeah, I can hear you.
You good?
It's late, so it's okay. Let's try this again. So I think the biggest question. Oh my goodness, looks so dumb out here. I think the biggest question in my mind is where kind of Charlie Strong. I'll move. They got the lights on. The biggest question in my mind going into this game is, you know, where Charlie Strong plays into this. I think he is the biggest X factor of this, and we've already kind of touched on it. But it's still in my mind. I don't know where he's going to come off when they drew those names and said, you guys are going to play Texas Tech. I'm curious what went on in his mind, and I'm curious if he even went back and looked at the defense. I don't even know the right questions to ask. Like, do you think that he's going to try to switch up his run game? Because like we were talking about, they have a three-headed Hydra, and that's what they're good at. But at the same time, Tech has been pretty dominant with a rush defense. So what do you think?
I think he's going to stick with what's working for them. I don't think he's going to change too much. He's going to test Tech and see if they're legit, you know, and see if they can stop them. You know, why change something that's working? They're 9-2 for a reason, you know. So I think they're going to go in and keep doing what they're doing and just until Tech stops them, you know, and then go make adjustments from there. Hopefully we can, you know, contain them and make them have to throw it, you know. I think that's what Tech's one thing to do is just throw the ball. So whether the offense, you know, get a lead, two touchdown lead, and, you know, we'll have to force him to throw. Maybe not. Maybe they'll keep running. So I think it's going to be a good little chess match going on Saturday, seeing how they respond to each other in different situations.
No, totally agree. And I think that we're all kind of set by this point. I think we all know what we're all about. I think USF knows where they stand. I think Tech definitely knows where they stand. And fans know what we're about and what they're about. I think this is, like you said, going to be a good chess match. Not really making much adjustments and just seeing how we actually stack up, how right. a middle of the road Big 12 team stacks up against, you know, USF, who before the season was started was picked to be a playoff upsetting caliber team. It proved to be pretty good. UCF right. kind of destroyed their chances there, but nonetheless proved to be really good. So honestly, Ryan's just trying to make me press in some questions. So I'm just kind of throwing the repetitive stuff at you now.
I'm over here ever since you said you're in the middle of the street. I've got that scene in Dodgeball where the guy,
you can
you're
dodge
not even
ball,
looking
man.
And
you,
dodge just
ball.
You just get crushed by a car.
You'll hear it.
I think that's been one of the critiques or actually seeing if Gibbs you know, with his new contract, having a good showing on defense, I think is going to be a big
right.
thing going forward. I guess I would just say, Tremaine, what's the key to the game for this bowl game?
I think
you can
the
give
key,
me one on offense and defense if you want.
Defense, of course, is contain a run. You know, not let them get them explosive plays. You know, in the running game. To of course turn on momentum and switch to the offense, and our offense just playing fast. We got to have some explosive plays. The defense, USC's defense, going to be ready. So starting fast, not starting slow and getting behind and getting the you know the three and down. So I always talk about that is coming out first drive and going to go score. You know, don't start off the game with three and out. That's, you know, putting yourself in a hole that can get deeper and deeper. So kind of stand on top and starting off fast and getting that score on the first drive.
Nice.
Okay, so you're head coach, Tremaine. You win the toss. Are you deferring or you want the ball? with this defense. I mean, with the team that you have, the Tech has.
We want the ball. We want to go score. We trust in our defense to stop them after we score, and then, you know, just building off of that. You know, we want to set the tone for the game. Offense got a lot to prove. I mean, they, like I said, been shaky, have great games, of course, and then had the games where we just scored 3 points. You know, we want to start out this game with a touchdown, set the tone, defense set the tone, and, you know, three and out, and then it's off to the races.
I know Jeremy's key to the game, and that's have Panizzolo be the holder.
have who?
Panizzolo.
the punter. Jeremy has this theory that one of the reasons outside of the injury to Hatfield, he has a theory that the entire issue with Barden and Ewan or everybody was that
everybody who was not the
holder was just awful. And that we needed a different holder. And the last game for Hatfield, the Texas game, you said Panizzolo was the holder.
Right.
And you were like, I told you. So I told you, Ryan, it's the holder.
He might be on to some.
Hey, laces thank you, out. Thank you. Go back. Watch the film. Watch the film. Hashtag watch the film.
Hey, film don't lie.
No, it don't.
No, but seriously, Jeremy, what's your key?
Yep. Okay, for offense, for me, it's that we need that fourth quarter Nick Szymanek the whole game. I want to see him, you know, he had that great, I mean, heroic fourth quarter showing last game against Texas. And I think he needs to carry that swagger and carry it proudly and play like he does, you know, when he first comes out, you know, be confident, be bold with your throws. I mean, he was just slinging them in the fourth quarter. I want him to do that the whole game. And if he gets out there and does that, and, you know, I even give him one interception in this game, and we can still dominate. This USF defense is good at making adjustments. They've done it all year. Watch some of their highlights, and they'll just, in the second half, just something clicks, and they start doing the right things. So I expect Nick to kind of fall a little bit at some point, but, man, just needs to get that swagger back and get out of his own head, play the game. Everything around him is stable. It's his last game. You know, it's big, so just him being confident, I think that'll give everybody else kind of a rallying point on offense. And especially, like Jermaine said, just don't go three and out, man. Get a touchdown and get that fire going. And on the best side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball, you know, staying hype, man. There's nothing better than just getting to pop somebody every play. So just everybody working together, being a team, buzzing around, you know, land sharks, bees, whatever you want to call it, just playing as a team and feeding off each other. Big plays from big players like Big Mike will definitely, you know, calm this USF team down, because I know that this is a professional game, you know, at the outside of it. But like we were trying to mention, it's big brother versus little brother in terms of conferences. So I know that USF is biting at the bit to try to get a big bowl victory over, you know, Big 12. And they'd be like, hey, you know, we deserve to be in the playoff dock next year. So defense is going to be a big key. And, you know, putting them back down in their place and, you know, trying to remind them at least how we think that this is why they belong where they do.
Well, I don't think them buzzing around as bees is going to be a good thing. Just I don't know about that analogy.
Like the hive mentality is what
everybody knows what's going on. Tremaine, you weren't there when Tech was at they had the swarm where every time the defense came on the field they would have that.
Yeah, that was.
And then no, they would go like swarm.
Really? Well, no, it wasn't a buzzing, but they did the swarm thing.
It was a buzzing in 2003 and 2004. I know that.
Are you kidding me? I was making jokes, man.
That was back in the day.
Okay, that makes sense. Like the whole hive, like okay, but
yeah, everybody got an idea what's going on. We all at one ball. We all at the ball. That's what I mean.
There you go.
My offensive key for the game is score in the red zone. Score touchdowns in the red zone. We are pitiful with our red zone touchdown percentage. Don't leave it on the foot of the kicker. I have complete confidence in Hatfield and the holder. But you need to score touchdowns. I mean, just score touchdowns in the red zone when you get there. And on defense, make USF trade field goals for touchdowns. Hold them out of the end zone to where they're kicking field goals while we're scoring touchdowns. So I have a question for both of you. I have a offensive question for Tremaine and a defensive question for Jeremy. I'm going to go with Jeremy first.
Okay.
The number is 2. And the question is over or under Justice Parker turnovers.
Hmm. Oh, man. coming off of getting a scholarship. Oh, man.
And I'll even throw in there, like, recovery of a two.
Man. I know he'll come out excited. Maybe one for sure. Two. You'll take a fumble recovery.
I'll take a force fumble. I'll count
force fumble.
Fumble recovery. I'll count. Yeah. I'll count a onside kick recovery. I'll count a block punt.
A block punt. There you go.
Hey, block punt.
You know that he picks up. Whatever.
Anything
he just
stellar.
He helps
some stellar
turn
play.
Yeah.
Yep. Over being that he gets it.
Okay.
Because
he did it against Kansas. He had a pick and a fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Yeah, I think he comes out. I think he comes out and gets 2.
Because he's got to build on the legend.
Yeah, I think he comes out and gets 2 turnovers. I'll say it.
A walk-on who picks off the Heisman Trophy winner in Norman, and then he goes to Austin and helps turn the tide with a late-game interception to seal the deal. I mean, he's on Wes Welker defense level of legend building, so he's got to do something.
Yep, he gets it. Fair enough.
And the number is also 2, Tremaine, and the question is over under Kiki QT's touchdown receptions.
Over.
You know, if he like pulls in 4, he's going pro.
Yeah, if he has a bomb game,
if he just goes Crabtree bonkers, he's going to be like, peace.
Like 12 catches, 150 plus yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a goner.
He's a goner.
And finally, predictions. What do you think your prediction? And you can give us the score. You can give us the score too. Jeremy, do you have the line on this game?
I do not. And I'm on my phone here.
I'm checking it right now. Cool. 3-point favorite. USF.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's basically a push.
They're coming it down to the. They're counting down to a field goal. Yeah. Great. They're like, check, we'll get it.
All right. So it's USF is a 3-point favorite. What's your prediction, Tremaine?
I'm going to say it's both been high scoring game teams. I'm going to say Tech 27, USF 17.
Wow.
I like 27-17. Like that.
Jeremy likes it because it's a defensive battle.
A lot of faith in the defense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miss championships or bowl games. Man.
Yeah, Jeremy.
I'm thinking. That's close. I think that's right, but I'm not going to say the same. I'm going to try to think something better. I think it's going to be 24-13, and I think that we'll have to kick one field goal and we'll make it because Panizzolo will be holding.
There you go.
And I will stand up in my living room and fist bump the air.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
You know what? I had a feeling I was going to have to do this, but because y'all pick such low scoring games, I'm going to have to. Going to have to put my foot down and say this is going to be 2002 Tangerine Bowl type of stuff here. Oh, Texas Tech is going to win.
You win back.
Like 55-24.
Nice. Big brother. I love it.
And Shim is going to throw for 4 plus touchdowns. Kiki's going to have 3 of them. Trey King's going to have 2 on the ground. And it's going to be
madness.
It's going to be awesome.
Madness.
Yeah,
love it.
So
start off your Saturday morning right.
That's right. Start off your Christmas right, man.
Hell yeah.
Nothing better than blowing out a ranked team, going home, opening presents, being with family. It's
former,
gonna be great.
And a former UT coach.
Yeah. You still suck. Just walking off the field.
You know, it's funny though. Of all the UT coaches that I've actually had been alive for, Mack Brown is tolerable now that he's retired. But Charlie Strong is the only one that I've actually liked while he was at UT.
Yeah, no nonsense program.
Yeah, just the way he ran that program. I hated to see him, you know, kind of get fired and run out and all that, but glad he's having success, and I'm glad.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of weird that once you get out of that adolescence, you hate everybody who isn't your team. You start seeing real people and players, and you want to kind of see them all do well, but your team still win. It's kind of weird for that, but I definitely want to get a win. It'll be good. So, Tremaine, you're not on Twitter as much as you used to, but just in case people want to find you to follow any of your adorable family pictures, where can they, what's your handle?
Well, Facebook would probably be the thing I use the most, I guess. Twitter, I guess, I don't know. I just got too busy for it and just didn't want to just look on it and scroll and. But if you do want to follow me on Twitter, maybe I'll get back on. It is let me go to it because I don't know. I think it's tswindle11 on Twitter, and then you can just search my name, Tremaine Swindle, on Facebook if you're not friends.
Yeah, I searched your name on Skype. You're the only one. So
yeah, so I'm the one and only.
That's right.
The one and only.
Number 11 on the field. Number one in your heart.
Oh my goodness. You go. But yeah, I don't use no other social media really, just mainly Facebook.
That's okay. You got to spend that time with family, man. You don't need to be wasting your time with all that.
Yeah, man.
It's cool to see the pictures. It's cool to see the flag football tournaments as well. It's so funny to see you out there running routes, and you've got like a whole foot advantage over whoever's covering you, and you're just like, throw it up.
All right. All right. It's fun.
Dominating.
For sure.
So, very cool. Jeremy, where can they find you?
Yeah. So, if you do want to waste your time on Twitter, you can find me at Jeremy Dane, Jeremey Dane. I'll be there for all your sarcastic needs.
I was going to say something, but I'd be afraid it was going to be taken like Albert. So, I'm not.
Nah, dude, I'm not Albert. Let's go.
No, I mean, like, people would think I was Albert. I'm not going there.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, love you, Tremaine. All the best to you and your family.
Appreciate it, brother.
How old is your little girl?
She is 5.
Wow. Did she start kindergarten this year?
16. Yeah, she's in kindergarten.
She liking it?
She loves it. She loves learning. Loves drawing. She's a character for sure.
That's awesome. So cool. Anyway, thank you so much, Tremaine, for being here. I know it's been a while since we've had a chance to chat and talk. Hopefully, if I'm still at VTM, we can get you back. If not, you'll have to deal with me via text message when I'm asking you all these questions.
No problem. Anytime, man. You got my number.
Yes, sir. I still need to get down there to Georgetown and toss the football with you. My arm strength is getting worse every year, so it's not going to be quite as...
Kind of like a salami.
It's not that bad. Not that bad.
Running out of time. Come on.
It's funny because my extended family is in Taylor, so I just need to find time to jet over to Georgetown and see you. So, anyway.
It's right down the street.
That's right.
We're going to find you, Ryan.
Had my rehearsal dinner in Georgetown. Do you ever go to Wildfire?
Oh.
Oh my god.
In the square?
Yeah.
We pass by it like almost every day, and I
want
to go.
If you want a good date night, that place is legit. It's got amazing food.
Yeah, we need
to go.
Got big
portions
for sure.
too. So I think you'd enjoy it. Every time we go to Georgetown, if I'm in Georgetown, we go there for lunch. If it's whatever meal it is,
right. And I'm like 5 minutes from the square.
Got to do it.
Square a lot. So let me know, man. We'll go.
Sounds good, man. Cool. Well, thank you again, Jermaine.
Thanks for the invite.
No, you don't get Jeremy, to come. You don't get to come, Jeremy. I didn't even know you were still on the podcast. I thought you had left. I'm sitting here talking to Jermaine.
I'm in Cedar Park.
You're so darn quiet.
A couple minutes from Georgetown. I can see him quicker than you.
You're in Cedar Park?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'll throw the ball tomorrow.
Here we go. When I come down, we'll have Jeremy cover you, Tremaine, and I'll throw the passes. We'll see how that goes.
That's gonna be fun.
Loser buys dinner at Wildfire.
Oh my goodness. Loser buys. Oh man. I don't have a job right now though. I guess BTM can pay for it. That's cool.
I give best out of 10. I give 10 tries.
I don't need 10 tries.
10 tries to stop me.
Oh my goodness. All right, this is getting out of hand. Ryan, where can I find you on the Twitter, Ryan? Tremaine's getting heated up.
At AV Coach Smith.
Right.
Is where you can find me on Twitter. This has been great. This is what we love. Thanks again, Tremaine. Thanks, Jeremy. For everybody at VTM, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. We will be back. Probably sans Tremaine, unless he really wants to jump on and start talking trash to Jeremy again. For the recap after the game, and that won't be until probably Tuesday after Christmas. Albert will be back with the basketball pod and his crew on Thursday, so you will have two back-to-back pods. But he's going to be back on Thursday. And, hope everybody has a safe, wonderful holiday, and enjoy the game. We'll catch you next time. This is FevaTheMatadors.com, and this is the Air Raid Podcast.